This CKNW podcast is brought to you by Destination Toyota in Burnaby. Open all the time at burnabytoyota.ca.
Hey, and welcome to the show. It's good to have you along, and we will have open phones for part of the show. First up, though, we're going to head to Austin, Texas. Yes, fresh back from Austin, Texas. I got to tell you, it was a bit of a hike. 5 hours delay at the Denver airport. Oh, that's fun. Nothing but cheese and crackers for 5 hours. Anyway, that's my problem. Went down to Austin, Texas to drive the all-new Dodge Dart. That's right. The Dart is back. And this is a significant vehicle for Chrysler, Dodge, and they have not had a vehicle in this class for a while. So I sat down with Richard Cox, one of the head honchos from Dodge, to find out more about it. Well, first of all, Richard, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Okay, we're sitting in the new Dodge Dart, and I just found out something. This is competing in the compact car segment, but it is officially what size car?
It is a mid-size car classified by the EPA. So when they take a look at overall passenger interior volume, you know, your headroom, hip room, rear seat leg room, it's classified as a mid-size car.
That's impressive. So you're getting mid-size dimensions for a compact price.
Absolutely. You're getting, yeah, mid-size, more rear seat legroom than a lot of mid-size cars, as well as pricing and fuel economy right in the heart of the market for the compact car market.
Now, you haven't had, I guess, since the old Neon and the SX 2.0 or whatever it was called, that's been gone for how many years?
Yeah, it's been a few years since we've been competing in the largest part of the compact car market. So if you look at compact cars, they're about 25% of the Canadian industry, but about 85% of that market is sedans, and we didn't have an entry. So this is a huge step for us to be competitive in this segment, but also from what it represents, bringing style and fun to drive and passion back to the compact car market.
Okay, I remember the Dart, right? Yes. I kind of questioned you last night when I arrived. I said, you know, why the name the Dodge Dart? I mean, for young people that might be buying this car, they have no idea what a Dodge Dart is. But there's a lot of people my age and older who think you know, was that a wise choice to bring back that name?
Yeah, you know, the Dart's got a really strong storied history to it. So it was out in 1960 through 1976, was one of the best-selling compact cars in its time, sold over 3.6 million Dodge Darts. And it was really known for some of its customization, for youthful expression, for innovation, as well as one of our first unibody vehicles, so, and reliability. And we're bringing that back. This is almost the modern reincarnation, if you will, of the original Dodge Dart. And it's also a name that instills a lot of passion. This is not some alphanumeric name. This is a name that brings back some pride.
Well, it certainly is recognizable. Yes. And easy to remember. Okay, so it's got nothing to do with those older cars. Tell us what this is built off of.
So this, the all-new Dart is built off the Alfa Romeo Giulietta platform, so which is a vehicle that is just renowned for its driving dynamics. We've taken that, we've lengthened it, we've widened it to really give it that midsize interior levels of roominess, and then, of course, given it a whole new design that really speaks to the Dodge design language.
So people might know that the Chrysler Group is owned by Fiat. Now, Fiat owns Alfa Romeo.
Yes, that's okay. Correct. So we're really, this is expressing the best partnership. And this is the first Chrysler Group vehicle that is going to be built off of Fiat architecture, in this case, the Alfa Romeo Giulietta. So, and we're also utilizing some of their powertrains as well. So really highlights the synergies of this partnership.
Okay, so one thing I when we're talking to the engineers here today, is that you have independent rear suspension.
Yes.
And four-wheel disc brakes all around, even on your base model.
Absolutely. You know, which is class exclusive to have the four-wheel disc brakes standard even on your entry-level model. So we're delivering all the safety features, electronic stability control, unsurpassed 10 standard airbags, 60 safety and security features, which is best in class. We're bringing that to every single one of our vehicles.
So you turned this around quite quickly. I mean, the marriage with Fiat and Chrysler hasn't been that long. And so your team's been working flat out on this. And what were the main objectives? What did you want to achieve with the Dodge Dart?
Yeah, I mean, we started, I mean, it's unbelievable. To bring this car to market was about 18 months, so which is really fast in the automotive world. But our objectives really were to shatter the paradigms, if you will, of the compact car market. Traditionally, it's associated with relatively bland, relatively boring vehicles, not a vehicle that a person gets passionate about. Instead, what we wanted to do is make it fun to drive, certainly make it fuel efficient, 4.7 liters per 100 kilometers or 60 imperial miles per gallon. So certainly delivers there, and the fun to drive aspect of it. Give it a design that sets it apart, and a person is proud. Proud to park it in front of their house and say, that's my ride, and looks forward to getting behind the wheel. So, and of course, world class in terms of quality.
Now, one of the things that also separates this car, you've got independent suspension, you've got four-wheel disc brakes, and you've got options when it comes to engines. Typically, in the compact segment, you have one engine. Some makers offer two. You've got three.
Yes.
Walk us through them and how they're different.
Yeah, so it's the most diverse powertrain lineup in the class. It starts with a 2.0 Tiger Shark four-cylinder.
What is Tiger Shark? Is that just something you marketing guys dreamt up? What does Tiger Shark mean?
It's one of the code names. Every single one of our engines earns a code name, if you will, from our engineer. So
Pentastar is one people know.
Correct. So Pentastar is one of them. This one was almost that that underground name that they were using to differentiate it from some of our old world gas engines. This one was an all-new engine, so they codenamed it Tiger Shark, and it was just a name that stuck, so we're using that now in all of our marketing materials as well.
So the 2-liter engine is your base engine?
Yes. So 2-liter, 160 horsepower, 148 pound-feet of torque, most powerful entry-level engine in the class. And you can get that with a 6-speed manual or a 6-speed automatic. From there, though, you can step up, which, as you said, most competition don't offer an upgraded engine. We deliver that. So you can get a 1.4-liter multi-air intercooled turbo, 160 horsepower, 184 pound-feet of torque.
Now, tell us, that engine's also used in another product. Tell us.
Yeah, so it's utilized in the Fiat 500 Abarth as well. So fantastic powertrain, very flat torque curve. You get your maximum torque, 184 from 2,500 through 4,000 RPM. So it is a hoot to drive. It really puts a smile on your face. And you can get that with a 6-speed manual or a 6-speed dual dry clutch.
Don't go on there because the dual clutch is stuff you see in Audis and Volkswagen has had it for a long time. But that really delivers the crispest shifts and performance oriented. So that's something we've never seen in a Dodge product before.
No, this is the first application of that. And again, that's, expressing the partnership of this with Fiat, where we're taking that, powertrain technology and bringing it into one of our vehicles.
And then you step up to another Tiger Shark engine.
Yes. So now if you go into the RT, you get the exclusive 2.4-liter Tiger Shark, 184 horsepower. And again, you can get that with a 6-speed manual or 6-speed automatic. So a lot of choices ranging from 160 to 184 horsepower and up to 60 imperial miles per gallon or 4.7 liters per 100 kilometers.
Now, the meat, I've sat through endless PowerPoint presentations at these launches. You guys do a good job, but we sat through a lot of them over the years. I've come to know that the meat of the Canadian market is in that $18,000, $19,000 price range for a compact car. What can I go into a Dodge store, looking at the Dart, I got $18,000-$19,000 to spend. What can I get?
Well, we actually give you a couple of choices. We start at $15,995, so phenomenal value. And as you mentioned earlier, there's a lot of equipment on that base car. So you get power windows, power door locks, remote keyless entry, unsurpassed 10 airbags, all in our entry-level vehicle. But as you said, the heart of the market is in and around that $18,000, $19,000. We give you two different choices. An S6T starts at $17,995. You get 17-inch wheels, air conditioning, remote keyless, 60-40 split folding, great design, very well equipped. But for just a little bit more at $19,495, you can get a rally package that is almost like a customized vehicle straight from the factory. You get the dark tinted headlamps, projector fog lamps on it, LED tail lamps, integrated dual exhaust, stripes in the seats, multiple colors that you can choose from on that vehicle, four different interior themes. So a lot of equipment on that vehicle in the heart of the market.
Now, one of the things that's really unique about this vehicle is the big screens. Now, we're seeing more computer interface screens in cars. So this one is one of the largest and a lot of technology going on in here.
Yeah, it was really important for us. We did a lot of research and spoke to millennials, and that's certainly one of the target customers we want to go after. And some of the most important aspects for them was the customization, but also the technology. So it was important for us to go about delivering class-leading technology. So the 8.4-inch touchscreen, largest in its class, 7-inch TFT reconfigurable display.
What's a TFT?
Thin film transistor. It's right in the instrument panel. You've got a couple of analog gauges off to the side that show your fuel as well as your tachometer, but right in the middle, very easy, straight in the eyes of the driver. You can reconfigure it to show your speedometer, turn-by-turn navigation, an eco mode that'll have pedals on there to show you how you're doing in terms of fuel efficiency. So again, it's about customizing it and making it personal for the owner.
Yeah, so for anybody that hasn't seen one of these, where your speedo and tach would be is a screen.
Yes.
And you can put different information in there. So that's available on what trim?
So you get that standard on our Limited as well as standard on the RT. And the 8.4-inch touchscreen you can get right down to the S6T, which starts at $17,995. So that was the other thing we wanted to do when we brought this to market is, number one, bring features and benefits traditionally not found in a compact car, but at the same time, bring it down to a price level that people can afford and make them standalone options. So no longer, if you want an 8.4-inch touchscreen or the Garmin navigation, do you have to spend $2,500 or $3,000 as part of some very large package. We're making it affordable.
Now, In the Canadian marketplace, we have a lot of people shopping for compact cars. What's this going to do for your business? And who do you think are going to cross-shop with this car?
Well, I think this is huge for the business. You know, as we mentioned, it's the single largest retail segment in the Canadian industry, and it's a segment that we're not competitive in right now. So this is nothing but incremental customers to Chrysler Canada. So I think it's going to do a very strong job there. As I mentioned, with midsize interior roominess, you can really effectively pull from two segments, both compact car and midsize car. And when we go after the customer base, because we offer five different models, you know, 14 different interior color trim combinations, there's three different engines, three different transmissions, 12 exterior colors. There's so many ways to customize and personalize that I think we can go after the millennials, which represent about 23% of the compact car market, but also boomers, empty nesters. They're going to get in this vehicle, and I think we'll see people who traditionally maybe shop for a midsize car get into a Dodge Dart, they get the roominess they're looking for, they get the soft touch premium materials they're certainly not expecting in a compact car, but they're going to get a great price, great fuel efficiency.
And, you know, you've obviously got Dodge people that own your minivans and they might come back into the store. You can tell me this because you're right at the top level of this business. Are you starting to see it that Dodge dealerships, people coming from import brands? Because that typically was taboo. A guy looks at a Honda, looks at a Mazda, looks at a Toyota, wouldn't consider a Dodge. Are you getting any of those folks crossing the street and coming into your stores now?
We're starting to see it more and more. And I think it all starts with great product. And so over the past couple of years, we've launched 20 new or significantly redesigned vehicles, and that's driving new customers into the marketplace. Also, we've got 28 consecutive months of year-over-year sales growth, and again, that's driving people in. You know, what is driving the success gets into the dealership and they get check it out, whether it's the new Grand Caravan, Dodge Journey, which do exceptionally well, the Ram truck, of course, which is number two.
Grand Cherokee, I think, was one that really brought people away from import brands, right?
Yeah, it was remarkable what we saw there. I mean, people were trading in some very high-end vehicles to purchase a new Grand Cherokee. And right now, when we do some of our hand raisers on the Dodge Dart, we're seeing a lot of import intenders or people who currently own an import are raising their hands saying, give me more information about the new Dodge Dart. So I think that sets the tone that this is a vehicle that they want to get into, want to learn more about.
You know what? I think you and I were talking when we met at the New York Auto Show, and we said, you know, 2 years ago in the dark, dark days in Detroit, who would have thought that it was Chrysler that has charged out of the gate so quickly? Because in Canada, you many months are number one, and you never would have thought that 2 years ago.
No, it's been a remarkable turnaround, and we're really grateful for that. It was a dark time, and you know, Mr. Marchione came in with a partnership with Fiat, and as you said, the Jeep Grand Cherokee really set the stage for all of the other vehicles that came after that, the 16 all newer redesigned vehicles within a very short time span that said, you know, we're going to deliver great exterior design, all new premium interiors, more power, more fuel efficiency, and greater value to the Canadian customers. And I think with the new Dodge Dart, we're taking that to an entirely new level, where we're bringing those features, the benefits, just completely unexpected for the compact car class.
You know what I think a big part of it is the Canadians that are taking over there in Chrysler, right? So you're, Reed Bigland's been on the show many times. You know, I know he says his mom listens. She lives on Vancouver Island, I believe, right?
Yes. Yes,
and,
she does.
And you're a Canadian kid. Now you're the – tell us what your job is.
So director of Dodge in the U.S., and my mom listens, by the way, as well.
Okay.
She lives in Alberta, so
hey, Mom.
I have to give a shout out.
So you've got Reed and Richard Cox, the Canadian guys running Dodge, and you guys have lit it up south of the border.
Yeah, we're extremely pleased with the success we're having in the U.S. marketplace where, you know, retail sales are up 40% this year in an industry that's up 11%.
Richard, thanks for all your time. Best of luck with your new Dodge Dart.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's Richard Cox. It's true. Reed Bigland is the president of Chrysler Canada. He's also the president and CEO of Dodge. He's in charge of all of the sales for the United States for the Chrysler Group. And Richard Cox is his right-hand man. Two Canadians went across the river to Detroit and have done great work. So that's a quick interview with Richard Cox about the all-new Dodge Dart. Now we turn it over to you and we have open phones. If you want to call on anything automotive, you're more than welcome. 1-877-399-9898. That's 1-877-399-9898 or 604-280-9898. We're going to have a quick break. We'll talk to Mark Bergevin from ADESA next and get to your calls, and I'll give you a few more thoughts on the Dodge Dart next on Driving. Well, we welcome Mark Bergevin every single week here to the radio show. You become an institution, Mark. You're a staple here on the radio every week.
Yeah, for sure. It was a lot of fun, for sure.
All right. Now, we have to get to the duty, and that is to find the good news story from ADESA Richmond Public Auction. What's this vehicle that we're talking about this week?
Well, this week we're talking about an Oldsmobile Intrigue. The customer brought it to us. They heard about us through a family member, so excited, brought the vehicle down. We gave it an appraisal of $1,000, ran the vehicle unreserved, and it sold for $1,250.
So someone that knows that the vehicle really isn't worth a lot of money, like $1,000 isn't a lot of money for a car, so they think really the realistic thing is to go with a no reserve to make sure the car goes on that day, right?
Absolutely. Just don't put a price, and as you can see, they sell for fair market value. That's the whole key.
Okay, Mark, that is a good news story.
Thanks, Zach.
All right, we are doing open phones here for the remainder of the show, 1-877-399-9898 and 604-280-9898. We go to Ken first in Alberta. Hey, Ken, go ahead.
How you doing today?
Good.
Right on. Hey, did I hear right that Dart is supposed to be 60 miles per gallon?
Well, in fairyland, in fairyland, hey, I'll tell you what. I was driving a U.S. model. I was driving the 1.4 turbo, which was actually quite fun to drive. And I'll give a little bit more of my driving impressions after the bottom of the hour here. But I was getting, with just regular driving, about 31 U.S. miles to the gallon. I haven't done the calculation. I can during the break, but that's up around 38 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, because my wife, she commutes back and forth about 60 kilometers on the highway a day, right?
Yeah. Well, on the highway, especially with the smaller 1.4-liter engine, she could easily get up to close to 40 miles a gallon on that.
Yeah, the only thing I'd be afraid of would be photo radar with a sporty car like that.
Well, it's not a sports car, but it's an engaging car. Yeah, it's a fun car to drive.
Yeah.
Now, they have that European platform, right? And it really handles well. I would say in the compact class, you've got the Ford Focus, the Mazda 3, and now the Dodge Dart are the top three cars in terms of handling. Just a really nice handling car with what I call muted or dampened sort of suspension. So there's not a lot of vibration or noise or anything. It's a really smooth, good handling car. So hopefully that gives you more information. Okay, Ken?
Yeah, because I saw the Fiat 500.
It's a lot bigger than that. Listen, I got to go. We have Kathy and Tom and a bunch of other people on the phone board here. We're going to take your calls at 1-877-399-9898 and 604-280-9898. Back with your phone calls next on Driving. Hey, and welcome back to the show. You might remember last week we had Richard Cox on this week from Dodge talking about the new Dodge Dart. Last week we had Nick Lacasse on for Ford talking about the all-new Ford Escape. I've been away for 2 weeks in a row. The new Ford Escape is big, big business for Ford of Canada. It's the best-selling compact crossover in the country. And I did a video that you can go and watch on my website, motormouth.ca. It's not so much a review as a preview. We have an interview again with Nick Lacasse from Ford, the chief engineer, the engine person in charge of the powertrain for their new EcoBoost engine, some new features, and a look at the interior as well. So if you're interested in the all-new Ford Escape, go to my website, motormouth.ca, and on the homepage you'll see a sort of six stories that kind of rotate through, or maybe seven today, and you'll see a picture of the Escape. Click on that, and you'll get the video that was just posted this morning. So that's what's going on at motormouth.ca. We go to the phone board, and we say hello to Kathy. Hey, Kathy, go ahead.
Hi. We need your help. We're finding ourselves having to purchase a car, which we didn't anticipate. So our priority is we're looking at financing, so we're looking at who has the best financing out there right now, and obviously fuel mileage. So we're looking at the, there's four of them that we've sort of determined sort of fit into that criteria, is the Civic DX, the Elantra Touring GL, mm-hmm. the Kia Forte, and the Chevy Cruze. And so we're just sort of wanting your opinions on sort of the goods and bads about both or all of them.
They're all excellent cars. The Cruze, for example, is the largest of the bunch. It gives you the biggest back seat and trunk. Mm-hmm. Very comfortable, smooth, and quiet. I mean, if you do a lot of driving, that would be probably one that I would choose for comfort. Mm-hmm. The Forte and the Elantra are very similar. They're built on the same platform. Hyundai and Kia are owned by the same company. They're sister companies, basically. Okay. The Elantra Touring is going to be discontinued. And so you're probably, of the bunch, going to get the best deal on that car because they're bringing out a new model called the Elantra GT.
Okay.
Okay, so nothing wrong with it. It's a good car. Mm-hmm. It's just they're bringing out some new styling, and you look at the regular sedan, they're making it look more like the regular sedan.
Okay.
Civic has been the best-selling car in the country, and it's still selling very well this year. Mm-hmm. Civic is sort of like the gold standard in that class. The model was just redone last year for 2012. There have been a lot of critics saying that it has a fairly inexpensive-looking interior. I still think that it delivers the goods for Canadians every single day. It's a very nice car to drive. I find it a bit noisy. If you're driving a lot on the highway, you might find it a bit noisy. So all of them are great choices. You might want to also check the Ford Focus, which is a good car.
Okay.
So there's lots of them out there. What you're looking for is price.
Yes.
And when you look at price, the biggest savings you're going to get is what you touched on right at the very beginning, which is the money that they're offering. Is it 0%? Is it some kind of rebate? You might find with the Elantra Touring, because it's coming towards the end of its run, that you might get the zero interest and maybe even a little incentive on it as well. So that's where you save the most money on these cars.
Okay. That's perfect. And the Kia Forte, you said, and the Elantra are very similar. Are there any?
It's styling, really. The engines and the platforms and what they're built off of are very similar. What you need to look at is what fits you physically. Like, do you have a car seat or a stroller or a hockey bag or golf clubs or whatever you need to fit in the car? You have to get that fixed first. First and foremost, the dimensions of the car will not change after you buy it. Are you comfortable in it? Can you see out of it? Is it a nice interior? Does it have all the cup holders where you want them? Does it have heated seats? Things like that. So get all of that narrowed down, and then you're going to get to one or two cars, and then you'll start to look at who's got the best deal.
Perfect.
They call it the buying funnel, right? So
yes.
You've got four or five cars in the funnel. You'll go through the process of sitting in them and drive them all. Please do drive them. Don't just buy them without driving them. And then you'll whittle them down to the ones that fit your lifestyle the best. And then you'll get down to one or two. And then it comes down to value. Who's giving you the best deal? That's typically the way people buy a car.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
We appreciate that.
Not
a
problem.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Okay. I'm going to get back to your phone calls in just a second. I want to get back to the Dodge Dart we talked about at the first part of the show. On size, the Dodge Dart is one of the biggest cars in the compact class. You might have heard Richard Cox at the beginning of the show mention that. It's about the same size as the Chevy Cruze and the Volkswagen Jetta. So bigger cars in the compact class. Interior seats, the seats are very comfortable. This is built off an Alfa Romeo platform, and the seats have that European sort of style to them, very bolstered, a good foam. One of the head designers on the interior was at this Dodge Dart event in Texas this week and had a lot of chats with him about how they came up with their interior and the soft dash and the soft materials on the inside. The suspension, I think, is one of the best things about this car. The Dodge Dart has a European-inspired suspension, so you get a very good handling car. Throw it into the corners with confidence, good feedback through the steering wheel to the driver, but it's not a bumpy, choppy car like you would get in some of the European cars. Very muted, smooth ride. The engines, there's three different engines to choose from. The one that I drove was called the Rally with the 1.4 turbo, which I thought was a lot of fun. When the turbo was up and running, it could feel a little bit slow, what I call getting out of the pocket, away from a traffic light or a stop sign. You kind of waited for that turbo to come in, but when the turbo did come in, it was quite rewarding. And a big feature that this car has that nobody else has in this class is a very large 8.4-inch computer interface screen on the dash that you can get on the SXT. That's their sort of the one step up from the base and all the way up to their top model. So that's really kind of the differentiators there of the new Dart, if you're interested in that. We're going to go next to Billy. Hey, Billy.
Hey, I'm done. I was just going to ask you about the dash, the other navigation system.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, you mentioned last week, I think it was, that Lexus had the best in the business for the
luxury cars.
One.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's your question, Bill?
Okay, what's my question would be that who would be the best off-market?
For now, yeah, I think you've called before on this. I think that if you're looking for a navigation system that you want to buy, hey, you can go to Costco, Best Buy, any of those sort of shops, and buy a navigation system for, you know, anywhere from $100 to $600 or $800. You know, here's a perfect example. This new Dodge Dart that I just drove, it has their navigation system is a Garmin navigation system that's integrated into their computer, what they have on the dash. So different companies utilize different maps and different companies, whether it's Magellan, whether it's Garmin. So you know what? You really can't go wrong with any of those real mainstream brands. And they have excellent options depending on how much you want to spend. You can go anywhere from, I said, like just over $100 at Costco or all the way up to get a very sophisticated one. But you know, they're amazing devices. And now I have my phone that I get the Google Maps on when I need them. Some companies have even gone away from navigation systems. They have what's called turn-by-turn navigation. So you push a button from OnStar at General Motors there. You tell them where you want to go, and they send a little package of information to the car, and it tells you audibly you're coming up to a street, turn right here, turn left there. It doesn't have pictures on the screen. They call it turn-by-turn navigation. All right, next we're going to go to Tom. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Hi there. I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm hoping I can get some advice or information from you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at something. I'm looking at buying a used car, and my motives are to get something that's affordable, something that is economical from gas mileage, and something that's mechanically reliable, at least from my position of being able to keep it on the road.
Mm.
I have an opportunity with a 1999 Dodge Intrepid or Chrysler Intrepid, and it has about 65,000 K on it.
Mm, it's not even broken in.
Yeah, and they have some other vehicles, and they're looking. Actually, I'm coming from an 89 Dodge Dakota, and mechanically and everything is great, with the exception of the gas mileage, of course.
Yeah, the Dakota is a killer.
Well, I could obviously do better with anything, right?
Yeah, but, no, you're talking about a 99 Dodge or a Chrysler Intrepid. You know, this is not new technology, right? So we're talking about 90s technology here. Is not going to be as efficient as a new car with the latest. Now, you're not in a position to buy a new car, so you're saying to me, what about this? Now, it's got low K on it. Even with a low kilometer car like that, I still need you to get it inspected by someone to see if it's in good condition. Because when you're buying a car, especially a car that's 13 years old, you're really looking at how well it was maintained. You know, when you buy a dog, like a purebred dog, you buy its pedigree, right? With an older car, you're buying its repair record and its maintenance. A car that has full records, fully maintained, is worth more than a car that has no records and no history of maintenance. So if the car is being looked after and maintained for all of its 13 years, there could be nothing wrong with that car. Then again, if nobody's looked after it, it could need a whole bunch of stuff. So you need that third-party mechanic to look at it, not the person that's selling it to you. Another person. Now, you have your automobile club in Alberta. They have a system where they can come and check your car, and you can just take it to another mechanic. So things like the transmission, the brakes, all of the stuff that could wear, even with a car with low kilometers. So you have to do your due diligence. So it's I'm trying to remember the size of it. 3.3, I think, was the engine off the top of my head. It's been a while now since I've driven an Intrepid.
I think it's a six that's in there anyway.
Pardon me?
But I think it's a six-cylinder.
Yeah, it's a six-cylinder, yeah.
Yeah, because definitely without the inspection, I'm not going to touch it, right? But
yeah.
I think my question is more along the lines of, I know the Intrepids have had some problems in the late 80s to about 2003, like motor issues, and I think there were some transmission issues. But
you always have to factor that into the price of the car. If you're getting a car for cheap, and you factor in, hey, I might have to repair something, and you could find out, what is a transmission overhaul cost? And the guy says, well, it's going to cost $600. We'll factor that in the price. And just say, you know, even for that, that's a lot of car. It's a big car, huge backseat, massive trunk, and it's going to be better on gas than your truck. So,
exactly.
Yeah, so that's all the stuff. I can't see the car and I can't tell you, but you have to sort of go through that whole process.
Go
online, do lots of reading on the weak points of the car, and when you get it inspected, say to the guy, can you look at this and this and this, and where am I on the curve of, is it just about to go, or am I a long way away from the transmission going? something like that.
No, understood.
Okay.
Yeah. But I was wondering, my last question for you would be, if it has been sitting for a while, and I'll definitely get it inspected and all, do you generally see automobiles that generally have some problems because they generally do sit?
Yeah, sitting, cars like to be driven. Has the car been driven regularly for those 13 years, or has it been sitting for 8 years?
No, it's been pretty much driven maybe like about once every 2 or 3 months type of thing.
Two or three months, yeah. I would have liked once every month, but hey, you know what? It just so long as it's driven, that's really the number one thing. Cars that sit for 5 or 6 years, horrible to leave a car like that. Car that's driven, even if it's just been every few months, it'll be better for it. But got it, get it inspected. Could be a great deal.
Definitely. Well,
okay.
Thank you for your information.
No problem. Hope it works out. Call back. Let me know what happened.
Will do. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Quick break. We're going to have a new car sell-off update and more of your calls next on Driving. And welcome back to the show. Each and every week, Rick Balkin from newcarselloff.com joins us. He's the founder. Rick, we've talked in the past about what the site does, deeply discounted cars that dealers are trying to, you know, get off of their lot. What problems does this solve for the consumer?
Well, we want one spot, Zach, that the average buyer can go to that isn't an expert negotiator, that's able to find a car or a truck that they've been looking for that's been already discounted. Most times when you walk into a car dealership, you'll see cars and trucks posted at retail. It doesn't obviously help if you're not a great negotiator to buy this vehicle. And from the dealer's point of view, typically they don't have an opportunity to get out to the car lot and sometimes discount the cars as much as they want to. So what we've asked the dealers to do, if they want to post them on our site, is to actually post their very, very best price that they're able to take for the car. And then at that point, we'll spot audit on an ongoing basis to make sure that these vehicles are, in fact, as good as they should be. And provide a place for you, the consumer, to come to buy a vehicle that's been greatly discounted.
So newcarselloff.com, the advantage is you go on there and the price is already discounted. Do you think there's any room for negotiating above and beyond the price that's there maybe?
Well, you know, Zach, I'll tell you, they've been very aggressive in most cases. So if you're going to get any negotiating room out of these dealerships, there's going to be very, very little. Like, I talk hundreds, not thousands, when you go into the dealership. And even then, I'd be surprised if you get much more than that, other than maybe a free tank of gas or a set of extra floor mats or something. But these prices are aggressive.
Yeah, so that basically tells you that these are rock-bottom prices. And the dealers are moving these. Why? Like, why would they do this if they could get somebody to come in who isn't a good negotiator? What's the incentive for them?
Well, there's a lot of cars and trucks that, for whatever reason, don't move. And these guys are very motivated to get them out of their inventory. They cost them money to stay in their inventory in terms of interest charges they incur every day that they're sitting there. So they just want them off their books. There's nothing wrong with these cars whatsoever. They just, for whatever reason, haven't sold. You know, I was at a dealership this week talking to a dealer that had been under construction. And he has 10 or 15 vehicles that he's posted with us that he said, Rick, I need them off. I don't have room to park them. I'm under construction. I need them off of our lot. And as a result of things, he's posted them up on our site, and they're really, really good deals.
So that's when you benefit.
You benefit hugely by somebody else's misfortune, unfortunately, in this world. And that's kind of where we're at with this. These vehicles have been posted because these guys have to move them.
NewCarSellOff.com is the website. You can go directly there. If you go to my website, motormouth.ca, the banner is right at the very top. You can click on that. Thanks a lot, Rick. Speak to you next week.
Thanks, Zach.
Hey, and welcome back to the show. We go to the phone board and we say hello to Evan. Or is it Yvonne?
Yvonne.
Yvonne. Oh. Hey, come on. My producer's like, that's not how you spell Yvonne.
That's okay. So my question is, my son is 6'7". He's 18 years old.
How much is it? It's probably cheaper to buy him a car than to feed him.
Probably. And I'm just trying to find a safe, reliable, possibly fuel-efficient vehicle for him. Safety's number one.
New, used?
Well, this is my dilemma. Safety is number one. So
the newer the car you can afford,
yes,
the safer it's going to be. You want to find things like all the airbags that you can stuff in a car, right?
That's right.
Traction control is key. Stability control is probably one of the most important things, because that helps you when you're getting into a slidey, a swerving situation. It's going to help correct the car.
Right.
That's a huge lifesaver, stability control. So traction, stability control, all the airbags you can stuff in a car. Anti-lock brakes typically come with traction and stability control. So those are the things you want in a car.
Right, but he wants a truck. And so far, he only fits in the Silverado or the Sierra comfortably and safely with legroom and headroom.
Yeah. Now, a lot of pickup trucks don't have stability control.
Right.
Depends on the year. Some of the newer ones do. So, yeah. And does he need a pickup truck?
He doesn't need one. But we were thinking of for our second vehicle that we would share it, and a truck could be handy for us. So,
Well, I know that with the General Motors trucks they have with the four-wheel drive versions, they have four-wheel low, and they also have an auto setting, right?
Right.
So you might want to, those are very good trucks, and you might want to, you know, go with the one that has the auto four-wheel drive, because the four-wheel drive is going to be much more stable than just a rear-wheel drive pickup truck. Because you've driven a pickup truck where there's nothing in the back, it's a wet day, the back slides around.
Right.
Right. So for a young person, you want as much traction as you can get. So that's what I would suggest if you like those trucks.
Okay. In your opinion, the Silverado or the Sierra or any of those big trucks, which year or model do you think is probably your best?
Well, they're
overall?
The same truck, right?
It is the same. Okay.
Yeah, they're the same truck, and then you want to get into, so you probably want to get one with the smaller engine for fuel efficiency, and you know, and the thing is, there are literally hundreds of thousands of configurations of pickup trucks. Literally,
right.
Like I've talked to the guys, and they say there's 250,000 ways you can order a pickup truck.
Right.
So it's really comes down to your budget. I would get the four-wheel one with the auto setting and with one with traction control, and that would probably be make you feel a little bit better, Mom.
Right. And the newer the model, the better.
The newer the model, yeah, and then look for the efficiency. Which ones get the better efficiency? That's a concern for you.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you for your help.
Hopefully that helps. Yvonne.
Okay. Thanks, Zach.
And speaking about my producer, Jamie Brigden, he's leaving. Jamie, can you come on the air?
Absolutely.
It's your last day. You're going to jolly old England. You're moving away. You've been my producer for a year and a half or so now.
It's been probably even more than that.
And you've been a great asset. Thanks for helping me out, because he digs me out of all kinds of holes. And
it's always a pleasure.
And this is your chance to go and live your dream living in England, so you can save up and buy a Mini.
I will buy either a Mini or a Fiat. You've got me on the Fiat as well. You seem to like it.
And the thing is, you don't want a new Mini. You want old school.
I want a really old. But they went up to 2,000 there, right?
You want the Austin Powers Shagadelic one, right? All right, baby, behave.
I'll get it, and I'll make sure I get it certified and tested by someone else. Right?
You've listened. He hasn't been sleeping on the other side of the glass for these last 2 years. So, Jamie, best of luck. Knock him dead there in the UK, and thanks for being a great asset to the show. That is the end of the show. If you want to contact me, my website is motormouth.ca if you want to look at any of the videos, reviews, articles. And, Jamie, best of luck. I'll speak to you next week on driving.